There's enough to worry about tomorrow, and there's enough to worry about today. Amen. But today, let's live, and tomorrow, when you wake up, know that His mercies are new every morning. God is going to give you another day, and He'll be with you. He'll give you the strength and the mercy to endure another week. Amen. But look, if you would, there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read there starting in verse 10. Many of you are probably familiar with this text, and I may have in the past. I've done some preaching from this text. I can't quite remember, but I know it's been fresh in my spirit, and I don't even know why. Just something the Lord's laid on my heart, something I've been needing to study and feel like I need to share with the church. But look there, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, and the title of this message tonight is going to be this: what is going to be left after the test? What is going to be left after the test? If you look there in verse 10, this is how it reads: according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now notice that he's telling us, the Apostle Paul, that we need to take heed how we are building on this foundation that's been laid. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I want to talk to you once again about what is going to be left after the test. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You once again tonight that we have been able to gather together in Your name. Thank You, Lord, for every song that has been sung, for every worshiper that is in this room that has participated with a heart of thanksgiving. God, for the special, God, for the time of giving, for the testimonies. But God, now we turn to Your infallible Word. And we need Your help, God, once again to share what You've laid upon my heart as the pastor of this church. Be with us tonight, God. Be with us and help us to understand there's coming a point in time that we're going to be tested, Lord, that we're going to be tried. And God, in that day that we stand before Your throne, be with us tonight and help us. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. As many of you know, the verses that I've read to you here tonight, it's talking about that day in which we as believers are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged. Now we understand that we as believers are not going to be judged on that day for our sins, because we realize we have put our faith in Christ and that judgment has been placed upon, if you would, the atonement. But that day we are going to stand before the Lord, and we are going to be judged according to our works, the deeds that we have done, the opportunities that we have, and by the material in which we have built upon. Now we understand, once again, I've got to reiterate this, this is not going to be a judgment for sin. They're not going to stand there and be judged for sin. If that was the case, you would be an unbeliever. But you are going to be judged according to your works, and you are going to be rewarded accordingly on that day. Now we know there's much confusion, even when I say what I've already said thus far, when it comes to understanding this day of judgment. And I'll be honest with you here tonight, I do not plan on doing a deep dive into this subject. There's much debate about when this is going to take place. Is it going to be at the resurrection? Is it going to be at the second advent of Christ? Or when all this is going to take place? We'll not get into that. But just know this, that every man and woman is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The seat, what they call the Bema seat. And the Bema was a place that after they had ran the race, they would come before this throne, and there they would be rewarded for their journey, their race, and their accomplishments. And that's what this is talking about. The Bible speaks of several different judgments of those who are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We know that there's going to be what we call the great white throne judgment that's going to take place before the new heavens and the new earth. And we realize at that time that the earth and the sea is going to give up the dead, and unbelievers are going to come and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there they're going to have an eternal body, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's going to take place, and it's futuristic. But we also must separate that from the judgment of the saints, where God's people are going to be judged on that day according to the works in which they have accomplished. Paul spoke of this in Romans chapter 14, and this is what it says in verses 10 through 12 of Romans 14. He asked the question, "But why do thou judge thy brother? And why do thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." And we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That should bring a certain level of reverence in our lives, that even though we've been brought out from the world and we have been saved and we are born again, we ought to have a certain fear of reverence, if you would, reverential fear, that one day our works of what we have done as believers are going to be judged. Now, you don't hear this talked about a whole lot. We hear a lot about forgiveness. We hear a lot about grace, which all of that applies. We hear about justification and all of this. But how many times do you hear in churches about talking about the judgment of the believer's works? What we have done since we have been born again. What we have built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at this, I want you to notice, number one here tonight, that the Apostle Paul calls himself a wise master builder. You would understand earlier in this chapter, and we're not going to take time to go through it, but he is talking about the conflict between or within the Corinthian church. And some are saying, "Look, I am of Paul," and others are saying, "I am of Apollos and Cephas." And there the Apostle Paul is going to give us this illustration of agriculture. And he says this, "I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And he talks about how God works with different ones and different phases to do different things. But then he turns his attention to this illustration of a building. And this is what he says in verse 10. He says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder." So notice, number one, he gives credit to the grace of God that he is able to participate in this building program. And he calls himself a wise master builder. Now this phrase here, this word wise, literally here means that he is skillful. And the Apostle Paul was very skillful in the way that he would establish, plant, and build up churches. He had a certain technique. He had a design, if you would, just like there would be an engineer, if you would, or a contractor who would come and be able to look at something and have vision and have the ability to give you advice and tell you this what needs to happen. In this phase of the building project, the Apostle Paul was wise, he was skillful, and he had an approach. And you see this in the book of Acts. As you see the Apostle Paul going from city to city among the Gentiles, he knew just how to build and right in the right place at the right time. He would address those in the synagogue differently than he would those on Mars Hill. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to build, and he calls himself wise. He had a definite pattern and a definite plan. But he says, "I am a skillful," then he says, "master builder." And this is where we get our word architect from in the original language there. there, and there's several words that writers talk about, but again, it's this idea that he's almost like an architect or a contractor or a planner, and he knew and he has analyzed and he has prayed and he has been appointed to go into these regions as an apostle and to lay the foundation of Jesus Christ and then to encourage them to do certain things. And you would find that in the epistles. You would find that in Romans, in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, but mainly in the pastoral epistles of 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, as he is instructing these men how to build on the foundation that has been laid. So he lets us know, number one, I am a wise master builder, but secondly, he's going to talk about a foundation that has been laid. He mentions that in verse 10. He says, I have laid the foundation. And I like that. That doesn't mean he sent somebody else to do it. This is something he's had his hands on. This is something he's built up. This is something he has invested in. This is something he's taken his own blood, sweat, and tears, and energy, and poured into this foundation. And it goes on to say in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay, or as most translations say, no other foundation can no man lay that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So I want you to get this in your mind at this moment. He is now showing us as this illustration as a builder, that he is this contractor, that he is this engineer, this architect, and he's laid this foundation, and this foundation is laid, which nobody else can take away or add to it. It is the foundation of Jesus Christ. This is the whole message of the New Testament. This is not talking about just a name or just a small subject. He is talking about the doctrines of Jesus Christ. We see this all throughout the New Testament. We see that the life of Jesus is talked about in the Gospels. And we see in the book of Acts that Christ is active in his church. We see him explained in the epistles. We see him coming back in the book of Revelation. It's all about Jesus. And can I tell you here tonight, and once again, let us stand firm on this foundation. It's all about Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the foundation that has been laid. There's a lot of things that we can get caught up in this world, a lot of programs, a lot of activities and pragmatism, but let Abundant Life Tabernacle never move off this foundation that Jesus Christ born. He lived a sinless life. We know that he died on the cross. He rose again the third day. He ascended to the right hand of the Heavenly Father, and he's making intercession for us. We are built on that. And the Apostle Paul is letting us know, I've laid that foundation. I went to different regions of the world and I've laid the foundation. He says, he's talking to the Corinthians. He says, nobody else can lay it. It's been done. But you have got to pay attention how you build on that foundation. Here tonight, the ball's in your court. You're the architect. Well, let me put the hammers in your hand to tie it a little better. You're the architect. You're the engineer. The foundation has been laid. And I want to approach this two different ways. We've got to build on the right foundation as a church. We got to make sure corporately and collectively we are using the right materials. But also on that day, you'll not be standing there and being judged by the name of Abundant Life Tabernacle, though you have association here. You're going to be judged about the way that you built your life in that day. How are you building on this foundation? Again, I've said this many times, I don't understand the idea of a bored Christian. You should be building. There should be effort. There should be labor. There should be energy poured into this. And so the Apostle Paul tells us that he's this wise master builder. And he's saying pretty much to the Corinthians, look, I've laid the foundation. Now it's your job. You've got to do some work. You've got to do some building. And can I tell you, church, the day you got born again, thank God for it. The day you got on the right foundation. But getting on the right foundation is not the only thing you've got to do. You now have got to build with the right materials. So here, he talked about the foundation, but then he's going to talk about the materials in which we build with. Notice there in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, but then notice, wood, hay, stubble. Now, first, I want you to notice this. None of these items are inherently evil. There's nothing sinful about wood, hay, and stubble over against gold, silver, and precious stones. But what you've got to understand, it's not about if these things are evil. What you must understand is these items, these materials, if you would, they may not be sinful, but they are not equally of the same value. And so it matters, brothers and sisters, when you get on this foundation and when you get in the right church, that you've got to make sure we are using the right material when we are building up the church. And can I tell you, there's many churches out there and many believers out there who are not building with the right material because they don't get the material from God's Word. They got all sorts of programs and ideas. And I'm not against technology, but I assure you of this, if we are not building on God's holy word, you're building with the wrong material. Somebody would say, well, Brother Derek, how in the world are there so many denominations? Honestly, I don't know. There's denominations out there. Recently, the realtor I'm working with, he's in a denomination I ain't never heard tell of it. I had to look it up on the internet. It's a Christian one, but I said, I ain't heard of that one. What I'm saying is there's all sorts of denominations. There are many kinds of churches. But it's safe to say some of them are building with gold, silver, and precious stones. And some of them are building with wood, hay, and stubble. There may be certain churches that are on the right foundation of the fact this is Jesus Christ and they got their doctrines of Christ right. But are they building with the right material? Let God be the judge in that day. But I'll tell you this right now. I am not a Pentecostal by accident. I believe there's something golden about the Pentecostal message. I believe there's something that's lasting about Pentecostalism and holiness and truth and morality of spirit and modesty of spirit and modesty of mind. I believe there's something right about speaking in tongues. I think there's something right about the gifts of the Spirit. And there's reasons I have invested in this because I really believe this is right. Hope you believe it as well. But not only are we talking about whole corporate denominations and churches, let me ask you a question. Why are there so many Christians out there that seem to contradict each other in certain areas? Could it be that some are on the right foundation, but building with the wrong material? Is it possible? Of course it is, because Paul thinks so. That it's possible that somebody out there, that there's believers who are on the foundation of Jesus Christ and they have genuinely put their faith in the Lord as their Savior and they've repented of their sins, but they are not putting forth the effort to build with the right and valuable materials. So we understand here that there's a judgment that's going to take place one day, and there's some saints who, if you would, are golden, if you would, that have this right material. And there's some saints that are stubble and building with wood and hay. And on that day, it's going to be revealed to them that they have missed it in the point that they have not built with the right materials. Now, I didn't say this. Paul did. Now, there's a lot of thoughts about this, but they come to this conclusion. This is talking about the judgment of believers and their works. So here's a few areas I would challenge you on here tonight. And let me know if you're building with gold, silver, or precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Let me ask you, number one, what about the motives of your heart? How many knows motive matters? Do you have, if you would, golden motive, precious stones, if you would, silver, Are you building with the right material? Or is your motives impure and maybe not solid? What about your conduct? The Bible says we will be judged for things done in our body. Are you doing and building with the right things? Or are you building with precious stones or wood, hay, and stubble? What about our service and ministry? Are you dedicated? Maybe you're on the right foundation, but maybe your service is not as energetic as it should be. And you're building and you're trying to take the shortcuts. Can I tell you, it matters how you build. And if anybody is being honest, you want to build something that's going to last. Right? I don't think anybody in here would ever build something and pour themselves into it and say, man, I hope this all gets consumed one day. No. I want something that's going to last for generations. Oh, help us here tonight, Lord. I want something that's going to endure the test of time. I don't want to leave this world one day and my kids look at me and say, Daddy didn't really believe what he preached. I don't want my kids to look at me one day and say, my daddy's motives and conduct and ministry and service. I know he was on the right foundation, but I just sometimes he built with the wrong material. No, no, no. I want, if God tarries 50 years from now and I've got grandchildren in this world, I want them to be able to point to granddaddy and say, granddaddy was on the right foundation and he has built something that is lasting. He has built something that's going to endure the test of time, so much so that on that day when I'm tried with fire, it's still standing to know I have the right message and the right ministry and the right motive and the right conduct. It matters, brothers and sisters. Because one day, it's all going to be tested. Now listen to what Paul says. Because it's one thing to build the building. It's another thing to pass the inspection. Now, we have seen it in the secular world of many people who cut corners. I remember years ago, Brother Israel Ochoa, the church they pioneered there in this New Hope Pentecostal, I believe it's what it's called. But years ago, they started in a house. And I remember pulling up to this house, very interesting here. And I pulled up to this house, and they were able to rent this house from the Church of God. But in reality, the house was a parsonage. So they converted it into a sanctuary, and looking over there across the field was a big sanctuary. Vacant. Lights off. And I'm like, what in the world? You're over here in this house, and there's a church over there. He said the pastor before raised all that money for that church and didn't get any inspections done. And he said, when it came time, they cut corners, stuff done right. There's a reason you have the inspection. And I remember walking over there and nice looking facility. Didn't have no carpet on the floor, but there was a cement right there in the sanctuary with a crack in the cement about that big. So they didn't lay it right. And the wiring, and they got the sheetrock up. So in order for everything to go like it should, you would have to undo everything and tear it out. It was going to take hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to undo it all because they didn't do it right the first time. I'll never forget that. And I thought of that as I was preparing for this. I want God to inspect my life every day, every phase of my life. So when that day comes, I'm not disappointed that my works have been tried and I'm sitting in a heap of ashes because I've not asked God to help me in the here and now. Ask God to examine you tonight. This day. This week. Number one, Lord, am I on the right foundation? And I hope you can say, yes, I'm in Christ. Secondly, ask Him, Lord, am I building with the right material? Is there anything I need to go back and undo a little bit so something will last and endure the test of time? So the test is this. Again, it's one thing to build the house, but you got to pass the inspection. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Look, it's going to come out. You know, there's some ministries out there sometimes. I don't see enough evidence of error to put my mouth on it. But you see enough to be a little worried. And really, there's certain times and certain arenas I've had to do this. I'm not going to support it, nor am I going to condemn it. Lord, would you reveal it if there's something that's not right? Because it doesn't feel right. And there are many times we do ask, Lord, manifest it now if need be. But we understand this, there are going to be many on that day. It's going to be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try, it shall test every man's work of what sort it is. That fire is going to see what you're made of, what that ministry is made of, what that church is made of, what that believer is made of. And again, this is not the fires of damnation, but these are the fires of revelation. It's going to reveal what kind of material you've been using. So there's coming a day that everybody's works is going to be tested. Everybody in this room, I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody. We hear that so much, but does it resonate with you that one day you're going to stand there and he is going to try your works, and he's going to try your heart, and he's going to try your motive, and he's going to try your conduct, and he's going to try your obedience. He's going to try you with fire. But what's going to be left is the question. Now, I will be honest with you. I don't know how all of this is going to work out. I don't believe we're going to enter into heaven with our heads hanging down or nothing like that. But I'll tell you this, there's going to be some people in heaven that are more rewarded than others. That's biblical. Now again, I know the intermediate state, there's a resurrection, there's coming back to the tribulation period, the millennial reign, the new heavens, new earth. I know all that. But people are going to be rewarded by the way that they have lived their lives as believers. How are you living? How are you building is the question. So notice, there's going to be tried with fire. Imagine what that's going to be like to stand there before Christ, if you would. And God's just going to light it on fire using this metaphor here. And guess what? If you've built with precious stones, everything's going to be okay. It only purified. But if you built with the wood, hay, and stubble, it's all going to dissipate. And you'll be standing there in ashes. So the question is the title, what's going to be left after the test? It's going to be left. I don't know about you. I've already said it, but I'll say it again. I want God to examine me now. Don't you? Why? Because I know we are not driven for rewards, but they help. They help. It's going to bring honor to God. Then God's going to honor us. And in turn, we're going to re-honor Him for the goodness of what God has done for us and His faithfulness. What a joy it is to work in the vineyard. What a joy it is to build. So notice what it goes on to say there in verse 14. And again, I would even mention this real quick before we get to verse 14. The Apostle Paul was looking forward to his reward. Listen to what he says. As many of you could quote this in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all of them that also love his appearing. Or Paul was going to put his lay his head down on the chopping block, if you would. He says, look, it's all right. Fought the fight. I finished my course. I'm at the end of it. I know it. Guess what? I've kept the faith. And you can almost hear a little bit of excitement there. I know there's laid up for me. This isn't in vain. This isn't in vain. But the Lord is going to honor and reward me, not from my glory, but He's going to be glorified. Don't you want to bring honor to Him on that day? Don't you want to glorify Him? Why would it be so selfish to glory in ourselves and our own accomplishments here in this world? But on that day, I want to be known to say, Brother Derek, Derek Jones was one who was on the right foundation and built with the right things. I want to be known for that, don't you? So we have to understand, first of all, in verse 14, we have some that have built and were constructive. It says, if any man's works abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. This means that this person has built well. They were careful. And I almost want to just say this in my mind as I'm thinking about it. I don't want to overthink it. But you know if you're building with the right material. I ain't the smartest man in the world, but I can tell the difference between gold and hay. I am not the smartest man in the world, but I know the difference between silver and stubble. I can tell a difference. But I wonder why, if the difference is so clear, why is it that people build with things that don't last? I have to think because it's easier. Follow me. I don't want to overthink it, but this is what's in my heart. It takes some effort to get the gold. It takes some effort to get the silver and the precious stones. You might have to mine some things. You might have to sweat a little bit. You may have to make your way into the caverns, if you would, and figure out what it is. You may have to barter and trade and be patient in order to earn the money to buy it. It's a lot easier to go out there and get sticks. It's a lot easier to go out there and to get hay and stubble. But there's got to be something inside of us, like that wise builder that built his house upon the rock. Sometimes you got to dig deep. You got to give effort to build right. It's not about getting it done the quickest. It's about getting it done right. Oh, help me, Lord. I know there's quicker ways to build a church. Come on now. I know there's quicker ways to grow your church. I know there's wood, hay, and stubble, and I am not the ultimate judge of every man or woman or pastor in this world. I am not. But I'd rather build with the right material that on that day he can look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to do what's right now. I want to put forth the effort. That day we're going to be rewarded. There's the incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians 9. The crown of righteousness. And 2 Timothy 4 and 8, the crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians, the crown of glory, the crown of life. We're not teaching on that here tonight. But I'll tell you this, those who build right will be rewarded. But secondly, underneath this section, there's ones that build right and there's ones that build wrong. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, notice this, and feel the sting of the words, he shall suffer loss. Now again, I don't know how God is going to resolve it all before you get into glory or whenever this takes place. But there's going to be a moment in time you're going to feel the loss at that moment. You're going to know that what you have built with was not right. Again, all I know is what the Bible says. I can't always understand everything about the future. But somebody is going to suffer loss. And there's got to be some level where they realize that it just wasn't right. But notice what he says. But he himself shall be saved. So this is not something that he's losing his salvation. But his works are going to be judged. And they're going to... And imagine, I just think about it with me in the natural. Imagine working your whole entire life for something. And then realizing it was nothing. Imagine that. That hopelessness, that frustration. On that day, I don't know how that's going to feel, and I am not nobody's ultimate judge, but I'll tell you this. It matters what you build with. And you will not receive the same reward as somebody else. And I'll let God balance all that out, because He's God. But make sure you are building with the right material. Now, when we talk about this loss, many agree that this is the loss of reward. And the level of that, again, we'll leave in the hands of God. But I want to close with this. I won't be much longer. Because I see here that this loss can take place. And we find several admonitions throughout the New Testament about the writers challenging us not to lose hold of our reward. For instance, in 2 John verse 8, look to yourselves, that you lose not the things that you've wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Isn't that interesting? There's some homework. Go study that this week. What's a full reward? You find the Lord said to the church of Philadelphia, hold fast. Don't let anybody take your crown. You find in Colossians 2 and 18, don't let anybody beguile you, bewitch you, and take away your reward. Paul feared that he would even preach and be a castaway himself. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, it says this, you're going to receive rewards for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. So again, that word bad there is not really the best translation when you study it, but it means this. When you look at the original language in the Greek, it means this. It's not talking about moral evil, but it's talking about that which is worthless, that which does not have weight and value. So you're going to be rewarded if you've done good and you've done the right things. But if you've done things that are worthless, you're going to notice it on that day. You're going to notice it. So I go back to our original text. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth there upon. What's going to be left after the test? Stand to your feet here tonight. I know this is a little bit of a different challenge, and it's not often that we preach about the judgment of believers. But I want there to be a soberness about us right here in this moment in time. I know it may feel like just another Sunday evening service. But let this be a night, this Sunday evening, that you analyze. Number one, are you on the right foundation? Are you on the right foundation? Are you living and believing in the Christ, not that America has developed, not the European long-haired hippie Jesus that you see in the pictures, but the ones that the Apostle Paul established in Scripture and the Gospels? Do you believe on that Christ? Have you put your faith in Him? It's simple. Have you put your faith in Him? Here, I know I've mentioned this already, but Lord willing, here soon, I'm going to be baptizing my daughter Chloe. We were talking the other night, and I've had this conversation several times. I said, before we do it, I want you to make sure you understand what this means. And I explained it to her. I said, have you put your faith genuinely in Jesus Christ as your Lord, your King, and your Savior? I have, Daddy. Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins, that you're a sinner, and you need Him to live like you should in this life? I have, Daddy. I find it amazing that even a 7-year-old can get on the right foundation. Humbled by that. Are you on the right foundation? It's simple. I'm glad it's not complicated. I'm glad you ain't got to take a pilgrimage. I'm glad you ain't got to save up a certain amount of money. But I'm glad to know here, and even this, that right where we live in this city, if we can get men and women to understand, you can get on this foundation, put your faith in Christ. Abundant life. Let me ask you, as a church, are we on the right foundation? I hope we are. I believe we are. Let me ask you a question. If you're on the right foundation, are you building with the right material? You said, Brother Derek, what do you mean? What is the wood, hay, and stubble, and the precious stones, and the gold? I believe it's your motives, your conduct, your character, your actions, your language, your conversation. I believe it's you. I believe it's your efforts. You know if you're building with the right material. And lastly, be reminded and have a certain sense of healthy fear that you are going to stand before Christ on that day. We have experienced this in a small form in our life when we were given a task and asked to do something, but we didn't do it, right? My great ability is to procrastinate. It's amazing how much I can get done in 24 hours when I have to. You know, my wife, you know, this, we're moving out of this house. She's been packing up. I said, I'll get to that stuff. Don't worry. Me and my wife balance each other out. What I'm saying is, I remember what it's like for a school assignment or a project on a job, not to do it, then have to face the boss man. I'm just trying to find some sort of comparison. What is it going to be like on that day for me to stand and look at the eyes of my Lord and Savior, for Him to say, I died for you. Redeemed you, poured out my blood for you, I gave you the material to build with. I've empowered you. I've energized you. I've gave you my spirit. It's all paid for. Just build. You put forth the effort. For me or somebody else to look down at the ground and say, well, I just didn't see the importance. I just wanted to get it done quick. Lord, I wanted to take shortcuts. I know you gave me the gold, the precious, but the sticks were just so tempting because it was just so much easier, right? No. On that day, I want to make sure I go there and say, Lord, I've gave it my all. And look, I'm sure as I'm tried with fire, there's going to be some things I learn about myself I didn't know. Some theories I might have gotten wrong here and there. But I want my motive to be right. I want my heart to be right. How many wants to build with the right material? That's my challenge you tonight. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I've done my best to challenge this congregation from your word. The judgment of believers. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, God, help us to understand the seriousness of this. God, that we are going to be judged by our works. Lord, not that it saves us, but God, it shows how motivated we were, how much we've valued the building, God. God, I don't want to be one of those that have built with the wrong material and wasted and just saved by fire, made it by the skin of my teeth. Barely made it. Barely made it. God, I don't want that to be the case. But God, as we're tried with fire, I don't want to be standing in ashes. But I want to be able to realize that I've had the right material. I've had the right motive, the right mind. Challenge this congregation, Holy Ghost. How would you convict and move? Help us to realize you're coming again. We're going to stand before you. And it matters. And it matters how we build thereupon. Take heed. Paul would say how you build thereon. Thank you for the foundation. We love you, Lord. Challenge us. Help us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Church, examine yourself. Keep this on your heart this week. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. God bless you.